Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Brian Artis. This is the Dr. Artis Show. This is a special edition, and we're very excited to have a very special guest, an activist, a voice of reason, a bullhorn, a whistleblower, joining us today on the Dr. Artis Show. You have met him before through this platform, and I hope all of you have watched back in 2016, I believe was the year that he released a documentary called The Dimming on YouTube. It's still there. You can go download and watch it. But I remember watching it years ago and being blown away by the research, the blueprints, the patents on everything you're being lied to by the mainstream media and our government about the climate change efforts in the sky, which is to control sunlight through the atmosphere to the earth and to literally poison all of us is what it appears. And yes, we're talking about chemical trails. We're talking about what they're spraying in the air that you see as grids all throughout the sky. But Dane Wigington is here to join us again today, and him and I have conversed. I actually invited him to come speak at our Healing for the Ages conference in October here in Dallas in 2025. Hope you all can join us physically. I just love his tenacity for research, his efforts to stand in Capitol buildings around the world, testifying, providing documentation that there are real operations at play to poison our skies, which overall what they are spraying in our skies, it's falling down and it's coming into our water supply. It's affecting our food supply. It's affecting all the living organisms on this planet. And I think it's well worth hanging out with Dane Wigington as often as possible to be brought up to speed on exactly what's going on around the world. And why not? During this period when Donald Trump's in office for a second term, you've got the MAHA movement with RFK Jr. being given a mandate to make America healthier again. How are you going to do that while they're poisoning all of the air above us that we breathe, that all of life requires? So this is a huge topic. You're hearing rumors of fluoride being banned in city waters all around the country and various counties around the world. And Dane and I have shared private conversations. We have shared podcast interviews before where we have discussed everything you see in the skies is ending up in our water supply for sure. And, so proud of everything that he's done. So we're going to talk about that because you're hearing about different representatives, including in Tennessee first, banning or writing laws to ban and restrict any geoengineering efforts in our skies. And by that, they're meaning chemtrails for short. But very, very exciting. There's also politicians you're going to learn about here. We're going to show you a clip, a 2-minute clip of a state representative in South Carolina, where I graduated high school, taking actions to plead with the citizens of that state to help take down this operation where they're actually spraying poisons in our air. And so anyway, there's tons of crap you're seeing in the weather. You're seeing tumultuous weather stuff being reported all over the world. Dane is sitting back the whole time, just like I do with long COVID and all the symptoms related to it. And I'm like, oh my God, it's just venoms. They've been using this stuff for years. You just didn't know it. And it perfectly explains every symptom. And then it lays out for you all the antidotes and solutions. And he's got all the answers to that when it comes to weather modification. Dane, thank you for joining us today. I hope you, your family, and all your loved ones are well as they can be living in this crazy, insane world. But welcome back again to the Dr. Artis Show, and I'm really, really thrilled and honored to spend time with you. Thank you for all you do.
Honors mutual, Brian. Thank you. And excellent summary you gave there, and certainly very key points. MAHA, everything means exactly nothing unless or until we can stop the ubiquitous contamination of highly toxic nanoparticle pollution in our skies from climate engineering operations. And I'm not denying industrial pollution, but when you're intentionally dispersing a plethora of toxic materials related to climate engineering, nanoparticles, which are the worst of all, and we're sucking that in with every breath, if we don't deal with that, all other causes of concerns are soon moot, Brian. You're right. Good point.
Yep. So what are some of the high level? I know you've actually looked at tons of this material. You've even flown planes through the chemtrails and collected them. I watched The Dimming many years ago, aluminum oxide and other things in there. What are some of the things you are absolutely confident are being sprayed in the air of Americans and globally that impacts our health?
Aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers. That's a key one. Polymer nanoplastics, which are showing up in all human organs, as you know, especially the human brain. Surfactants, graphene, another particularly alarming element that was in the last 100 plus rain samples we took with the University of Minnesota. What are these elements doing in our rain? And these are all elements named in climate engineering patents. And I'll finish with this for the two of those elements, polymer fibers and graphene, we know those are used militarily for biological warfare for the specific purpose of carrying a pathogen from the clouds to the ground. What's that doing in our rain? So again, people going about their lives as if they're going to continue in this paradigm, that's not the case under any scenario. And if we don't stop what's happening in our skies, people have no idea how severe our immediate future will be.
What are some of the things you watch? What are the things you read? What is it you see that's being reported around the world that you're just like, look, I've been reporting on this for years and testifying to this information, showing the patents for years. What are some of the issues right now, real life, that you know are literally impacted directly by what they're spraying in our skies?
Well, the power structure, the powers that be, and when I state that, I'm not referring to any elected official, which is just, they're just props in play. I don't care what their political stripe is.
I call it political theater, Dane.
That's what it is. I call it the same, a political circus. But those who print the money, those who can print whatever they want for whatever they want, that's who's really pulling the strings. And all the elected offices are simply theater on top of that. So again, the severity of what's unfolding, those in power are going to feed normalcy bias in the population until the moment of impact. And we have too many people that are willing to go along with that, pretending that some technology will fix what's happening to our planet, that pretending weather warfare isn't happening and raging in our skies. And Brian, anybody, you look up, right? I mean, we see skies here in Northern California commonly. It looks like something out of a science fiction movie. And people are oblivious. You might have one day with, it's not just, there's not, aircraft are not leaving dispersions behind, but like over my airspace in Northern California, there's no aircraft because we're not under a flight path. So when they're not spraying, there's no aircraft. When they are, they're everywhere going east-west, which we have no flight routes anywhere in this part of the state going east-west. I mean, people should connect the dots that this is going on. But the bottom line is this, that while people, especially in urban areas, don't see the damage to the natural environment and they're watching global orchestrated scripted conflicts, again, more efforts of the empires to gain power and control, ecosystems are imploding everywhere. And Brian, how many people do you know that are aware of the severity of insect population collapse, for example?
Oh my goodness. I think the first time our audiences were introduced to that was when I had you, and I mentioned it earlier before we started recording, with you and Dr. Lee Merritt, and we were talking about insects, bees, carbon destruction. I mean, we were talking about all kinds of stuff, but the insects have taken a beating with all of the poisons, yeah, for sure, which is necessary for the pollination and for almost every biological life and species on Earth to continue.
Everything. And when we say collapse, we mean collapse. We published in 2012, Geoengineering published in 2012, because of our work with former government scientists, that terrestrial and aquatic insect populations were collapsing. And that means 80 to 90% terrestrial and aquatic insect collapse right now, today. If the insects can't make it, how long do we really think we're going to be here? And again, you watch Matrix Media. If any sane, aware person that watches Matrix Media knows that we live on an orbiting asylum, there's nothing there that matters. There's every other commercial is what? Big pharma commercials, right? Yep. With and people dancing around, singing while they're listing the side effects of death, permanent muscle tremors, organ damage. And then the commercial after the pharmaceutical commercials is a legal firm. If you took last week's big pharma concoction, you can sue this week. And then between that, we have the completely one-sided propaganda about conflict zones around the world that absolutely don't tell the whole story in any accurate context. But people believe it, even though we know Vietnam was a false flag event. We know back to Pearl Harbor that they knew that was coming. They even more or less pressured the Japanese into doing what they did. We have the non-existent weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and yet these concocted scripts of justifying conflict keep coming up over and over again, and even countries paying the very terrorists they claim to be fighting, right? But all that occupies people's attention, and they don't see the oncoming train of total biosphere collapse, and that's exactly what's happening, Brian. It is here. It's not decades out. It's here.
Can you explain to all of us, because I have many, many reasons why there's so many gross, evil, disturbing ills and attempts to damage, cause disease and death in human beings and profit off of those, which big pharma and the medical industry gets a kickoff of, obviously, and enjoys doing, and has masterfully figured out how to market that propaganda machine. Yes. It's a big racket scheme. Dane, why is there the ultimate goal to spray all this crap in our skies and poison the majority of all life on Earth? What would be the benefit to anybody doing that?
Well, think about all the benefits for those in power. They know the planet in its damaged state can't support 8+ billion people anymore. We have about 36 countries around the world descending into chaos right now. I'm sure people in every region are noticing more and more empty food shelves, certain food items that aren't showing up anymore.
Eggs, just chicken. Yep.
Yeah. Butter. Just the beginning. So again, the populations are rapidly increasing liability to those in power, especially the U.S. population, many of whom are heavily armed. So let's look at Zbigniew Brzezinski, the former U.S. or presidential advisor to U.S. presidents going all the way back to Johnson. He finally, thankfully, died in 2017. But Zbigniew Brzezinski stated, quote, "With today's technology, it's far easier to kill a million people than to control them." And that notion is so unpalatable for the vast majority. They simply refuse to believe that those in power are not here to help them. This is Stockholm syndrome on steroids. So again, by manipulating the weather, they can and are bringing populations to their knees, including U.S. populations, without those populations ever even knowing they're under assault. They blame it on nature. And all the while, we are getting sicker and dumber. You can avoid certain medical treatments once for those who know how harmful they are, but you can't avoid the air you breathe. And Brian, we have peer-reviewed study to prove that in the last generation, IQs in the U.S. have dropped 6 to 9 points. That's staggeringly scary. Easier to control a dumber population.
Now, I'm not sure it's going down a rabbit hole, but for sure the IQ's been affected big time. Even with the research coming out of Asia in the last 5 years, there have been documentation after peer-reviewed study that the IQ of children who have been consuming fluoride in water, for example, their IQs have continued to drop as we have actually absorbed more poison from our own water supply. So absolutely, one of the things they've been using to try to ban fluoride from all these waters is not American research studies, Dane. This is what's interesting. All the studies come from other countries. Yeah. Like, America's not doing that research. They're not looking out for their citizens. The citizens are finding these research studies that other countries are doing and funding, and then taking those findings and bringing them here. And I'm like, why aren't we taking care of ourselves and our citizens as much as the citizens like yourself who are trying? I mean, I don't know. I just learned what the definition of the word citizen is. Maybe we are not citizens. Okay. Citizens being a government employee of the United States of America. Anyway, found in the District of Columbia. I've learned all this stuff recently. Anyway, yeah, based on what we are, it is truly crazy to me as I've gone through the COVID-19 narrative, if you have uncovered one patent after another, one operation after another to literally poison our skies for all myriads of reasons, whether to control the weather, depopulate the planet. But I have to tell you, Dane, these are the kind of reasons I like these interviews and visiting with people like you. Because I have questions internally that I have not figured out answers to, haven't spent enough time on yet. And oh my God, you answered a question for me I've been wondering, actually. It's just been sitting there as a hypothetical, but it totally makes sense now. This is why I like logic and talking to a lot of people who have studied a lot. I have been talking about, I did not know this until the beginning of COVID, about an organization called the Club of Rome and the like treaties they wrote and their constitutions they wrote in the 1960s. And they actually write, there are too many people on this planet. It's exponentially growing too fast. And by the year 2050, they actually write the dates. By the year 2050, if the population of humanity continues to rise at the rate it is, the Earth will not be able to provide enough resources to support that humanity growth rate. Therefore, we have to reduce the population of the Earth to 1 billion people by the year 2050. Now, this is just a group of elitists writing this stuff up. However, it felt like it was fast track starting in the year 2000 and then in 2020, and you're forcing mandates, lockdowns, injections of things that just kill people. You're bribing hospitals to murder elderly people in America over 60 years old with a drug called Remdesivir, proven to kill more people in the trials they used it for Ebola. It was the only drug that killed more people than the disease does, Dane. That drug was chosen to treat all senior citizens in America older than 60. And the government gave them a bribe of 20% for the entire hospital bill for every senior citizen in America they gave that drug to and called it COVID treatment. Okay, when you look at all of that, I'm like, wait a minute. I haven't put this connection to the fact that the chemtrails in this geoengineering project of theirs is fast-tracking the destruction of the Earth's ability to replace its resources. Therefore, the species that rely on those resources would struggle, would have strife, and die off. That I didn't put together yet. Thank you for helping answer that question for me. Like, why would they be doing this so much, and why do they want to force this issue? Oh, wait. Maybe there is some kind of depopulation, explosion of the population of the Earth they're trying to control.
There is. The case you laid out is certainly exactly on track with you, your points completely. In regard to the Club of Rome, certainly they're correct. The planet can't support this population, but who gives them the right to decide who lives or who dies? Their date of 2050, I would argue, is grossly incorrect. We're there now. So let's look at hard stats, Brian. And again, I'm not denying all the other forms of human damage to the planet. We've been absolutely horrible stewards of the planet. And that's what many people need to realize. Even people fighting climate engineering are pretending that nothing else is wrong. And that couldn't be further from the truth. We're going through 100 plus million barrels of hydrocarbon a day. This is all extractive resources that are destroying the planet. From fracking that destroys water tables forever, literally forever, 500 plus chemicals, 300 of which they don't even have to disclose, proprietary secret, and they can inject this into the ground. They're now going to reuse fracking water for farming. What? I mean, we live in an asylum. They're using urban sewage for farming. That's contaminated. There's lawsuits for that. It's contaminated those fields forever. But in regard to, again, the current paradigm, we've damaged the planet in countless ways, but climate engineering, the use of weather as a weapon, and not just weather weapon, but biological weapon, you can hide from those medical industrial complex treatments. Can't hide from this. They're definitely trying to coal debilitate populations. Brian, if we go all the way back, even to the 60s, you remember the leaded gas, right? Leaded gas, we have recent studies now proving that those that were in regions with a lot of smog, I certainly was in Southern California, IQ drops of 6 points. Those who grew up in those years in those regions had that effect at minimum. I mean, they know what they're doing in that sense, and the consequences to the population serve them, and a sicker, dumber, debilitated population, easier to control. But I would argue the human body has been more resilient than they calculated for. And the demise of the biosphere has happened faster than they were prepared for it to happen. Biosphere collapse has beat them to the intersection, if you will. Now they're incredibly desperate, thus the escalation of global carnage and conflict zones around the world. They know they're out of time. And again, the cascading collapse, that's what's occurring right now. Statistically, we've lost 75% of Earth's wildlife populations in the last 40 years alone. That's from an already diminished population. Brian, did you hear this year about the bee collapses, how severe they were this year?
Yes, and then I've actually showcased on this show different countries actually making excuses why to go out and destroy beehives all over people's properties by determining with a PCR test, do they have a virus inside their beehive? And then they destroy them all. And I'm like, what in the world is wrong with these people? Leave the insects alone.
More orchestration. Sorry about if you can hear a little pup yap in the background there. They're rallying outside, or they should stop in a moment. We just, on that note, we lost a dog. I'll get back to the subject in a moment, but a vet gave a perfectly healthy dog we had without telling us a rabies vaccine. It dropped dead. It dropped dead, healthy dog, just like we see how much of the human population dropping dead for an mRNA, which is now apparently in our rabies vaccination. We just had this happen. So that's why we had a replacement pup outside. But bottom line with what's happening right now, I want to stress this severity and immediacy and of what's taking place in our skies, why we're so focused on this at geoengineeringwatch.org, because no matter what else we face, no matter what other causes, what other concerns, if we do not deal with this, it's game over in the extremely near term. And not only is it killing, again, insect populations down 80 to 90%, wildlife 75% in 40 years on the bees and the collapse there. We had some regions collapse 70, 80% this year alone. That sounds bad. It is bad. But what's the true statistic? That's a 70 or 80% collapse of the 20% that remained. Already from an 80% collapse, we're down to single digit remaining populations of pollinators. We don't see bees anymore in Northern California. This was a lush area, bees everywhere. I just saw my first bumblebee yesterday and my first two or three honeybees a few days ago. There's nothing here. There's no insects and bird populations. And your listeners can research, please, please investigate everything I'm stating. Bird populations are, of course, collapsing. How could they not collapse? There's no insects. And what about plankton? Climate engineering is destroying the ozone layer. Brian, you remember the narratives of the hairspray cans are destroying the ozone layer, right? Total red herring. Are CFCs and hairspray cans bad?
Wait. Even better than that, Dane. Did you ever see the documentary called Cowspiracy, brought to you by Leonardo DiCaprio as the producer? Did you see it?
Let's blame part of it.
Let's blame all of the warming of the earth on too many cows passing gas all around the world because human beings like beef too much. Yeah, that's what they
blame. Same category. Same category. So on the livestock, is the cow flatulence really the problem you face? Obviously not. When you cut down rainforests to raise cows, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But regarding the methane in the atmosphere, cows aren't the problem. Methane hydrate and clathrate deposits are thawing and releasing. Brian, you know the Bermuda Triangle scenario. You've heard of that. Everybody's heard of that, right? And what is that really? It's methane released from the seafloor because the oceans are warming rapidly. And these formerly frozen methane deposits, these fields tend to release in entirety all at once. So you have a column of methane rising through the water. And when that hits the surface, any surface vessel that's in that region has no buoyancy, goes to the bottom intact. But that methane continues migrating into the atmosphere, starts to cover the planet like a layer of glass. And this is where the insanity gets even worse, Brian. So we have this methane release happening everywhere from thawing and releasing methane fields. Your listeners can search. I would encourage them to search Siberian methane craters. Look at those images. You have to see it to believe it. Looks like nuclear bomb detonation craters. That's methane exploding out of the tundra. So what do the climate engineers do? Just like the pharmaceutical industry, now they want to try to molecularly degrade that methane in the atmosphere by microwaving it with opposing frequencies. What does that do? What are the consequences of that? It's called Project Lucy and Project Alamo. Those are acronyms. That's another layer on this insanity. So as climate engineering is trying to mask the severity of damage done to the planet while simultaneously actually increasing the damage, thus we have the engineered snowstorms. Remember the snowstorm in New Orleans this winter, right?
Yes.
In Florida? Mm-hmm. What didn't they tell us? While there was a snowstorm in New Orleans in Florida, it was above freezing and raining in the Arctic, Alaska, Greenland, Iceland, Siberia, Moscow, above freezing and raining while it's snowing on the Gulf Coast in New Orleans. That's climate engineering. So again, it's the pharmaceutical approach as they try to mask the severity of damage done while they're using weather as a weapon and we're destroying the planet from countless directions. They're doing even more damage as this methane is building up in the atmosphere from these types of releases, not cloud flatulence, as you correctly stated. Now they implement Project Lucy and Alamo. Let's microwave the atmosphere to try to molecularly degrade that methane. What's that going to do? What are the downstream consequences from that? It's a circus of insanity, Brian. We're all going to pay the price if this is allowed to continue.
You used a term earlier, Dane. Obviously, I hope you guys are watching the weather panel, weather play out on the news, all this crazy weather in Florida, New Orleans. Okay, I hope all of you are just watching this. Okay, that's what you're going to see in the media. But then you should know rationally it doesn't make any sense. So they are engineering this stuff. So you need to go learn. Tell them your website where they can go get your information, research, donate, go learn more about the geoengineering project. Give me your website.
Geoengineeringwatch.org. We're the largest, most visited website in the world on this subject. We are non-political. We don't sell anything except for climate engineering awareness materials to help people effectively and efficiently sound the alarm in the field. And we pass on our high quality printed materials for less than our cost of producing and shipping. We're simply trying to move this fight forward. Monetary everything. I've gone through my entire SEP IRA account, Brian, other real estate holdings to try to keep this battle moving forward. None of that's going to be necessary in the paradigm that we are very soon going to face. And I know that's a really difficult pill to swallow. For people to think that this is not going to get magically fixed and we're not going to magically live happily ever after. But I would say this, Brian, that why are we here? Is it to go on Caribbean cruises and Disney World vacations? Or are we here for a reason, for a purpose? And what greater calling could there be than to face this storm head on and try to salvage some part of Earth's remaining life support systems before there's nothing left to salvage. You know, what greater purpose or calling could we have than that? Amen. And everyone can play a part in this. And again, from their own home computers, to share a flaming arrow link of awareness to help wake up others around them, have them do the same. And if we all do that, if we can force this issue to light, we could cause a shockwave around the globe, because this is done everywhere, Brian, everywhere. And again, in the biological experimentation, when we know U.S. military, even as far back as 1977, had conducted no less than 239 open-air biological tests over innocent U.S. civilians, according to the Washington Post. How many more since then? This is also biological warfare. We have to deal with this and stop it. If we can, then we can assess the rest of the damage. But this is a real, right now, fight for life.
I want you to define for my audiences. Now, please go donate at his website. At his website, it's geoengineeringwatch.org, right?
Or what? Yes, sir.
Okay, good. If you go there, you'll see in the top left-hand corner, it says over 50 million visits. There's a lot of visits to that website. I used to like it going to websites early on in the internet life, where you could see at the bottom of every internet website, mm-hmm. you could see how many visits there were every day. Yes. They got rid of all of that. But I like the fact you still have it up there. 50 million visits, unique visitors to that site. Please go there. He's got some cool t-shirts. He's got other stuff. He's got pamphlets, booklets. He'll send them to you. Go get them so you can educate people around the world. A couple definitions, though, for the audience and for me. Can you define what you meant by biosphere?
It's the fishbowl in which we live.
Okay, good. Fishbowl that we live. Got it.
The majority of the human race, of course, takes for granted the miraculousness of this planet and the intricacy of the systems that operated here. I mean, it's mind-numbingly complex. We don't even fully understand even a fraction of it. Even species extinction, the current species extinction rate right now today, Brian, is 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect every single day going extinct. And no matter how difficult that is to comprehend, people don't realize how many species there were here in all those categories, and many of which we haven't even identified yet, and they're going extinct. So again, this is that rate, by the way, that extinction rate today, because people say, well, things have always gone extinct, right? It's just part of the cycle. No, it's not. Not like this. When the extinction rate is 15,000 times higher than the background rate, that's 1.5% of, quote, normal. There's nothing normal about that. We're not going to be here long on the current course.
All right. So when I was a kid in 1990, Dane, I want to give some perspective here, because I was shocked much later after 1990. I was 14 years old in 1990. My grandfather took me on a trip to the Grand Canyon. We went down to Carlsbad Caverns down in North New Mexico, and we got to go tour into Carlsbad Caverns, come out at night, sit on the rim of that huge opening to that cave. And why do people sit there? They're waiting to hear and see the roar coming from inside the cave when dusk starts coming and falling. There is a roar of tens of millions of bats in unison come flying in a circle out of that cave and go up over the whole group of people sitting there outside the hole of this cave. I mean, there's thousands of us out there, and tens of millions of bats in this huge black cloud that overtook the entire sky as they went off hunting for bugs. Yep. Dane,
it'd been five. So 2006.
There's a family reunion for the artist family. My parents, all my siblings, nieces, nephews, all of us go to Carlsbad. And we go do the tour in the cave. Now, it's only been at this point, 16 years since I've been there. And I cannot wait, because I'm the only one that saw it. I couldn't wait for everybody to watch this huge cloud of bats come out of Carlsbad Cavern in 2006. Okay, so we buy the tickets. We go sit up on the rim after doing the tour of the massive caves, which is amazing and humbling as a spectacle just to go inside of. Mm-hmm. And we sat on the rim. And Dane, I never heard a roar. I remember very distinctly in 1990, you could hear a roar coming out of the cave before you ever saw for like 30 minutes this bellowing swell of a swarm of bats taking off into the sky. It literally darkened the whole sky. It was awesome. But in 2006, there was probably 10,000 bats that came out in total. I didn't hear anything. And you see these little bitty bats coming out and then flying off into the distance. There was no shade. There was no shadow. I was like, what? And I felt horrible for all of my nieces, nephews, there's a bunch of us. There's 25 of these grandkids. So it was really sad and pathetic.
but this would go right inside with why would those bats not be in the same numbers they've been in to chisel out a stadium of seats for visitors who come. It's been there for decades, and every day people come there and pay to come watch this beautiful natural occurrence of bats taking off to go feeding every night, and now there aren't any. Like, none. And it was really sad. And the reason I asked, I was like, wait, where's all the bats? You know what they told me? The people working at Carlsbad. I said, where's all the bats? And they said, it's been a really couple hard years of drought, so there's not as many insects, and the bats moved on to other places. And I'm like, I don't think they moved. I really think they're all just being starved to death, and they're dying and going extinct. That's what it looks like. Anyway, this fits in perfectly with what you're describing has been occurring.
It's a stunningly good example. And how bad is it now? If it was that bad then, when you were there, how bad is it now? And this is another part of the problem. We have so many people in agencies, and whether it's Forest Service or these park agencies or Carlsbad, military, so many people just parroting whatever they're told, that it's just drought, it's some natural climate cyclical pattern. No, the rain is toxic. The ozone layer is being systematically annihilated from climate engineering. So this intense UV radiation is killing insects. The toxic rain is killing everything, soil microbiome, root systems, insects as well. We have, again, peer-reviewed study with the bees. They're dying of massive aluminum exposure. Your listeners can search that, bees aluminum. They're dying of symptoms, again, resemble Alzheimer's and dementia in a human being. They can't even find their way back to the hive. And we have these agencies. Brian, how many times have you heard with the dying forests, it's just the beetles, right? Have you heard that?
Japanese beetles all over the Smoky Mountains. I remember living out there, and I'm like, what in the world?
Beetles are a symptom of a sick, dead, dying tree. And I've been in the field with USDA scientists, some of the top in their field, people I know. They know this is going on, and they lack the courage to tell the truth. They sheepishly look at me in the field as we're doing field testing and say, what do you want us to do about it? How about doing your job? How about manning up and showing some courage so you can face yourself in the mirror? You can look your children in the eyes. How about doing your job? But there's so little courage in the ranks of our species. And I'm very grateful for you, your voice, your work. And we've tried to do our best at Geoengineering Watch as well. And here's the point. You can't hide in your cabin on the Titanic. We're all knee deep in water in the Titanic right now. We're all passengers on Titanic Earth right now. And those that don't believe it, and there are many because they watch Matrix Media that tells them it's all a hoax, everything's fine, it's just alarmism. Tell me, when should we be alarmed? Insect populations down nearly 90%, plankton populations down nearly 90%, ozone layer collapsing, wildlife populations collapsing, crops collapsing, fisheries collapsing. When exactly should we be alarmed?
I didn't know about the plankton yet. I hadn't seen that. All right, so Dane, number one, I want you to summarize for the audiences, because maybe some of the people watching this right now spend time in the mainstream media matrix most of the time. Who knows? And they're still hanging out with me every once in a while, which is great. All right, so Dane, what's the problem now that we got their attention for a few minutes? So what about insects? Dane, all I've heard my whole life is we need to control pests from eating all of our crops. I've read about plagues in the Bible where locusts just come in and wipe out all of our crops. Isn't that more deadly and dangerous and problematic for humanity than letting the bugs live? Shouldn't we find reasons to kill them all?
You know, that's a really, really good example and point you bring up of many people's perspectives that is so incredibly wrong.
Yeah, what's up with bugs? Why do we need them?
Because they're an essential part of a very complex life support system on the planet, without which we get into cascading collapse. Again, bird populations collapsing, bat populations collapsing, because you just stated fisheries collapsing. Now we have nothing to eat. So how well does that go? And the reason we have, and often so many, if we have a plague example from a pest, that too is related to climate engineering. When you create certain conditions that are unnatural in an area, including drought in some conditions where locusts take off, climate engineering is inseparable from all of that. There is no natural weather at this point. You can't do this to the planet and have anything you can truly call natural. Would that event have happened in that place at that time in that way without climate engineering? The answer is no. You can't definitively say that anymore. We've disrupted the entire system. And then we're using pesticides on some of these insect populations. They become resistant. Now what do we have? Just like the antibiotic resistant everything in the medical field. So again, when you interfere with these natural systems that have sustained life on this planet for time immemorial, you get a bad result, period, every single time. So people that are myopically looking at that as something good or beneficial, gee, we don't have any mosquitoes anymore, everything's wonderful. Not for long, not for long. The whole system is, again, it's called a cascading collapse. And we, in a sense, if we look at this statistically, mathematically right now, the human race is functionally extinct right now. You have, and that means that they cannot continue without the numbers crashing, if not entirely, nearly so. You have polar scientists right now, some of the top polar scientists, and why do they matter? Because the poles are the air conditioners for the planet and they're imploding. Whoever thinks the ice isn't imploding, I'm sorry if you don't like Al Gore. I don't like Al Gore either, but that doesn't mean if Al Gore says it's day, I should take the position it's night, even if it's not. We have film footage. It's not an opinion. A film called Chasing Ice, very, very essential film to watch. Film footage, no political agenda.
Chasing Ice.
Imploding cryosphere. So again, the polar scientists, leading back to the extinction question, are stating right now that humanity may not make the end of this decade. Not century, decade. And that's not even taking into account nuclear anything. So let's plug nuclear into this, if I can, Brian. Let's make it really dim. That's really the darkest picture we can. So
we already plugged barium. They're spraying all over you. Do you know what they use barium for? At Oak Ridge, Tennessee, to make the atom bomb, they use barium to make it. And you know, my patients in East Tennessee had to have treatments if there was barium leaks. They literally had to lay my patients on their side at Oak Ridge and fill a hose into one of their lungs, fill it up with fluid, and then suck it out while they were awake. That's what they had to do to preserve their lives. That's what they're dropping in the sky. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, well, drop the nuclear bomb.
We actually have a published science study implicating coal fly ash as a likely base material for these operations because they need so much of it. Again, we're talking about 40 to 60 million tons of nanoparticles, and some of the elements in coal fly ash are named in climate engineering patents, and it appears that may be a base material. And that by itself is radioactive on top of everything else. But if we weave climate engineering into an incredibly dark picture, again, we have 442 nuclear power plants around the globe. We have a now very damaged atmosphere. The ozone layer is near functional collapse right now, down to about 30% remaining. Climate engineering is the single greatest factor damaging it. So now if we have a large CME, coronal mass ejection, solar flare, and it shuts down grids around the globe, those grids, those nuclear plants can't cool themselves anymore. Now we have Fukushima times 100 or 200. Game over. Again, directly related to climate engineering damaging the planet. So as they've completely derailed the hydrological cycle, we have nuclear plants that now can't cool themselves, not enough water, or because of the damaged ozone layer, we have much more thermal energy penetrating. Brian, you feel how hot the surfaces are on your car surface and how hot the sun feels on your skin when it's unobstructed. We're getting UVC on the surface. That's a very penetrating thermal energy. So that's heating water bodies that are now too warm for the nuclear power plants to really use to cool the reactors. We have nuclear plants at sea level rising rapidly. That's very
similar. That I never thought about. When you mentioned that right before you went off, I was like, wait a minute, I haven't thought about that. If they are all at sea level and the oceans rise, those nuclear reactors will be underwater.
Okay, well, the oceans are rising, all right. And how much, many people don't know. If you search online, sea level rise one is not uniform. So people think, well, because they can't see buildings underwater on the ocean, that means it's not rising. It's not true. Miami is spending $1 billion a year right now just to keep their streets dry. That's a losing battle. Miami is going to be unviable soon, and many other places. Wait,
do you know how they're doing that? How are they doing that?
Massive pumping systems trying to pump it out of the urban areas back into the ocean, where it's going to come right back again.
I did not know that. That's amazing.
A losing battle. And if you search online, you can find South Sea Islands with palm trees in the surf because sea level rise, again, is not uniform. Seabed topography plays a factor. Thermal heating plays a factor. It depends on where you're at. But how much sea level rise is eventually going to happen? I'm not saying overnight, but eventually, because most people don't know. There's about 21 to 24 feet of sea level rise built into Greenland alone, about 197 feet in Antarctica. And again, it only takes a tiny fraction of that in order to change everything on coastal everywhere, a tiny fraction. And we're into the non-linear part of the equation again. We now have glaciers sliding off the bedrock into the ocean, which is radically accelerating the sea level rise because the ice is melting on the surface. It feeds through what's called a moulon. That's like a hole in the ice, and it can drop down in some cases almost 2 miles in the case of Antarctica. And it starts to lubricate the glacier on the bedrock. Does that make sense?
It does.
And the glacier starts to slide faster and faster. We are in a very nonlinear phase of this entire equation. Those in power know it. And that leads right back to CV19, the culling of populations, populations being more resilient than they expected, I think. And let's go back to 1918, the quote Spanish flu that wasn't Spanish, it wasn't the flu. I know you know all about this. This is your field of expertise, bacterial pneumonia, Fort Riley. They've been experimenting at this for a very, very long time, but now we're in the very latter stages. And what we hope, Brian, again, I know this is very, very difficult to try to assimilate, or people feel helpless. They're not helpless. They're not. Again, I would argue that only place solace exists in committing yourself to the fight for the common good and knowing that whatever happens, you did your best. No one can take that from you. No one. And if we all do that, who knows what good we may yet do.
Amen to that. Dane, do you see positive things occurring around the United States, specifically around geoengineering and cracking down on its continued relentless beating of the skies and our land and water?
They're only ramping up, and they're going to continue to ramp up. And if the science community would tell us, Brian, it's called that once we start, we can't stop. That's like telling a drug addict that once you're addicted, you just need to keep upping that dose forever. Yeah. Obviously, that can't happen. So the science term is called double catastrophe scenario, that once you start climate engineering, you start building up all this energy in the system because of your interference with the system, that you can never stop because the blowback would be too horrific. And I would argue that is exactly wrong. If we don't stop, if we don't allow the planet to respond on its own to the damage already done, we're done in the very near term. So no, there's no decline. The notion that this administration was going to somehow do something about this, I would argue, was a very naive notion. And in the case of, again, the statements we've had from Lee Zeldin, which were absolutely meaningless, and we've heard nothing since. Robert made the statement, again, tying this to jet fuel and jet exhaust, which is patently wrong. This is not a jet exhaust issue. It's a spray dispersion. We've heard nothing since, zero. As you may know, I mean, Robert interviewed me on this subject a year and a half ago for about an hour. And I feel he should have known much more about it, because in 2012, Robert Kennedy was briefed fully on this issue by Woody Harrelson at Woody's house. I knew about that when it happened. And why the silence for another 12 years before he interviewed me? Why the silence now? And I would argue, again, anybody that's in those circles, whoever they may be, whatever their intentions might have been, they are now a part of the club, and they are subject to the dictates of that club. And we're not in that club, as George Carlin stated.
I was about to say, everybody's listening to George Carlin. It's just a club, and great, you ain't in it.
That's right. So I would say this, Brian, we're the ones we've been waiting for. We, us, those in power are not gods. We're not helpless. We need to stand up, get on deck, and start to help keep this ship afloat.
Amen. I mean, Children's Health Defense, RFK Jr. started it, stepped down in 2023 for good reason. So now he's the head of the MAHA movement, given the mandate. And as we've listened to 4 years of people under Joe Biden's administration, we listen to people clamor about all the issues with these fast-tracked mRNA vaccines. Oh, my God, within 2 months of RFK Jr. being put in there, leading the Children's Health Defense for all vaccine transparency and issues. Oh, my goodness. Really? You're going to fast track a measles self-amplifying mRNA vaccines for the measles when garlic, the NIH published in 2020 and 2021, are cures for an active measles infection? Come on, man. We don't need that stuff. You know, as you just mentioned, Dane, with Robert being informed on the chemtrails in the sky and weather modification in 2012, I was just stating here, as he is stating here, the disappointment of any effort, any talking point since he's taken his secretarial position at the HHS, as we've been disappointed there, I am just as disappointed when for 4 years under Joe Biden's administration, we listened to the crap about the awful downfall and horrific side effects, miscarriages and turbo cancers and myocarditis and death associated with self-amplifying mRNA vaccines for COVID. That were never proven safe and effective. Oh, my God. Within 2 months of RFK Jr. being put in his position there, He's now fast-tracking self-amplifying mRNA vaccines for measles.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Come on. George Carlin was right. One of my favorite cynical comedians at towards the end of his career, he realized he was in a matrix.
Yes.
And he used comedy in the stage to make sure you got it. And you were perfectly quoting him.
Yes, I'm with you on every single point you just made. Now we see a walking back of everything that was promised. No mention of climate engineering anything anymore other than reparroting the official narrative that it's just jet exhaust, which is patently false. Right. So the bottom line is, again, it is up to us. I can't express the immediacy of the timeframes and people, if they understood the semantics matter, we're in a game of semantics. The chemtrails term, again, is fine for personal conversation, but not for media, not for elected officials. Stick to the science terms, learn how to play chess. You'll be much more effective at moving this fight forward. And again, with people like you, Brian, and all your work, and you're bringing a voice to this as well, I mean, that is hugely helpful for us and our efforts at geoengineeringwatch.org. We're communicating with elected officials around the country, congressmen, representatives, some very honorable people now. They are the exception. They are definitely not the rule, but we are very grateful for them, and they're waking their populations up. In the case of South Carolina and Representative Lee Gilreath, who's become a good personal friend, he's an extremely honorable individual, and he has really rallied that state because they've been hammered. They were hammered by Hurricane Helene. We captured that in real time. I would encourage your listeners to search geoengineeringwatch.org, steering Hurricane Helene. We captured the NEXRAD transmissions that manipulated that storm. And again, I'm astounded we have access to those data loops still. And I think those in power have some strange protocols. They want to leave a trail of breadcrumbs that they filled in. If people don't pay attention, they're justified doing whatever they want to populations. Mm-hmm. Because Carolina has been hammered so hard, those people are waking up very rapidly, and Lee is doing an excellent job of doing so. So we need more like him. There are a few more surfacing in that realm. We simply need to tilt the scale in the right direction so that those that are doing their part to cover the crimes of the climate engineers, and that includes media, Brian. How many media do you know? Just like with COVID, just like people like Peter Hotez, I know you know who he is.
Yes, I do.
Individuals like that who are completely sold out to the
frauds,
insanity.
Puppets, actors.
Yes. So we have the same in the climate engineering scenario. All the meteorologists, there's zero question. They know this is going on, but they simply know how long their leash is. They want to protect their paychecks and pensions. What a cowardly way to live. In the case of the nation's weathermen, National Weather Service, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, there is an illegal federal gag order on those agencies.
Wow.
For all agency operations. Why would you gag the weathermen?
You have got to watch the dimming, because one of the things I watched in that, now that you're just talking, I'm like, oh my God, meteorologists definitely know. I mean, you show clips of meteorologists live on their news feed, standing in front of the green screen, showing a weather pattern. And over Washington State and Oregon, you will see a perfect right angle of clouds not showing up. And it's like, that's not natural. No, it's not natural. You should watch the dimming and learn from Dane Wigington and his research team and those incredible individuals behind geoengineeringwatch.org. You got to go support that and go watch it, because you'll realize they definitely know what's going on and that these are not natural occurrences. One other amazing thing, NEXRAD, most of y'all may not know what that is, NEXRAD. I didn't even know what that was till about, I don't know, 6 months ago. But I was doing a presentation with my Healing for the Ages doctors, Dane, you'll appreciate this. And we were talking about chemtrails and weather modification. And there was a weekday where I was on a flight going from one part of the country east to west. And the pilot comes on, the American Airlines pilot comes on, Dane, and says this, and I know you're aware of this. The pilot comes on. I'm on the north side of the plane, so I can look out to the north, but we're flying west. And he says to everybody on the south side of the plane, so on the other side of the aisle, everybody look out your windows, and you'll see the Aurora Borealis over the United States. Okay. Sure enough, everybody on that side of the plane is taking pictures outside the window and showing us, and you can see there's Aurora Borealis over the mid part of the United States. Okay. That's what it looks like. And I'm like, honey, that ain't natural. We did a whole broadcast on this. We had to show everybody. We went to the exact time I was on the plane for those several hours that was showing up in the skies over the United States. And we showed the NexRad visual radars, and every single one of them were on for hours during that period over the entire United States. All of them were on, pulsing for like hours. They weren't turning off. Usually they only come on for a few minutes to give you the radar blip because they know it causes heart attacks in people all around the world if you leave it on too long. But when they launched this thing, they had an all-day occurrence where they did it for 12 hours straight, Dane. And this is when the Aurora Borealis was showing up in the sky and everybody thought that was a natural thing. And I was like, and even the media was reporting on it. And I was like, okay, we have to show you what it is we just learned. Anyway, you know all about this. It's pretty ridiculous.
That's an exceptional example, though. That's a great example. And how can, I mean, our atmosphere is literally being used for a physics lab and a battle zone. Obviously, we're going to pay the price for that soon. The atmosphere, if we compare this in terms people might relate to more, Brian, the atmosphere is about the same thickness as a layer of paint on a basketball. That's what allows us to live here. Wow. When we destroy that, we are done. Brian, remember the big Aurora Borealis event back in May of last year? There was a big event that we, you know, of course, are led to believe is natural. Is it a coincidence that 1 week before that event, the HAARP facility in Alaska warned the FAA to keep air traffic out of their airspace during that exact window of time? Is that just a coincidence? No. And that system is known to be capable of causing aurora events. I mean, what does it take for people to connect the dots? What to look up? And when our skies look like something out of a Vin Diesel sci-fi movie, that's not nature. It's not natural. Where's our blue skies? Why is it hazy all the time? Why does everybody have Alzheimer's, dementia, COPD, asthma, everything? Because we're breathing these materials that are absorbed through our olfactory nerve, goes into our bloodstream, crosses our blood-brain barrier. How much longer can this go on, Brian?
Yeah, I have no idea. All right, so what's your call to action, Dane Wigginton?
That every single individual from their own home computer can do an immense amount of good for free. Share credible links from a credible source. That's key. We have so many alt media sites that might have one thing close to right and 10 things completely wrong. And that doesn't help. A boat with a big hole in the side isn't going to make this journey. We're extremely careful at geoengineeringwatch.org. We don't say it if we can't back it up. Share credible links from a credible source. So if you, for example, in the Palisades fire, if you knew people in that area, send them links from the engineering wildfire section that explains in great detail how the template is set for these fires. So bottom line is, what is setting the template for these fires to burn with such ferocity? Source of ignition, separate subject completely. And again, for people, how they can help, find links that would be of great interest to anyone who suffered the consequences of fires like that. Or forest fires. We see Canada burning right now. I think they've lost 15,000 square miles, not acres, 15,000 square miles so far this year. In 2023, they lost 72,000 square miles. That's bigger than the states of Florida or Georgia. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know it was that big.
An area bigger than the states of Florida or Georgia burnt. Why would the climate engineers facilitate that? We have peer-reviewed study, and this is available. This is a very important link. It's called Geoengineering Serves Wildfire. Wildfires Serve Geoengineering Agenda. Wildfires Serve Geoengineering Agenda. We have peer-reviewed study, Brian, advocating for the intentional incineration of northern latitude forests to put enough particulate matter in the air as a form of solar radiation management.
It Holy crap, cools. I didn't know that.
Hey, you can look at the studies right in that link. Wildfires Serve Geoengineering Agenda. How insane is that? We have people in Washington right now, Brian, circles in Washington openly discussing, quote, the benefit of a limited nuclear exchange to put enough particulate matter in the sky to slow the warming of the planet. If they do that, if any level nuclear exchange occurs, the ionizing radiation will strip away what little is left of the ozone layer, done, game over. And they're openly discussing that as a benefit. And we have peer-reviewed study advocating for the intentional burning of northern latitude forests to temporarily cool the planet. Total insanity. And again, it is that bad. We have the proof to back up everything I'm stating. So I'm trying in context, from the air we breathe to the destruction of life support systems on which our lives utterly and totally depend. We're in a fight for life. We're knee deep in water on the deck of the Titanic. All of us are needed to help to keep this ship afloat. Every single day counts.
Dane, as they keep shooting stuff in the sky, releasing it with these spraying jets behind them, leaving all these white grids of particulate matter, aluminum, barium, strontium in the skies. I have watched your documentaries. I've read so much on this topic. Supposedly, the aluminum oxide in the sky is supposed to be reflective to the sun's rays to help cool the planet. I have a question for you. If they do nuclear explosions to put particulate in the air, if they set wildfires to put more particulate in the air, does it really work? Because they keep adding crap up there, and supposedly our temperatures keep skyrocketing higher. How is that cooling the planet if we put more crap up there? I'd like to know.
It's not. The entire premise of solar radiation management was based on the temporary cooling effects of volcanic eruptions. That is the entire foundation of it. And we now know from the most recent study that volcanic eruptions do temporarily and toxically cool the planet, after which an even worsened warming accelerates everywhere and a destruction of the ozone layer. So the entire premise for these programs is totally and completely flawed. And I want to make this clear. There's nothing benevolent about these programs, nothing. It's about power and control ultimately. But I'm saying the whole science premise on which the so-called climate science community bases these operations is totally and completely flawed. Short-term warming. Brian, you remember when the Canadian fires started in 2023, huge smoke plume went down over New York and then parked there. And they can force that smoke down on the surface with an ionosphere heater. It heats the atmosphere, causes the atmosphere to expand, pushes the atmosphere up and down. The downward pushes a high-pressure heat dome. They can hold that smoke over populations, making them sicker because you know how toxic smoke is, especially when they're spraying into that smoke. Mm-hmm. But it dropped temperatures like 25 or 30 degrees, but for a very short time, after which all these downstream consequences kick in, and now we have an even worse warming. So again, this is definitely cutting off our nose to spite our face. They're not going to let go of this weapon. They're using it around the globe. They have. That's why you have U.S. military bases, 800 of them around the world, or in everybody's country in their backyard. In Africa, they've been bringing countries to their knees for decades by cutting off their precipitation, forcing their governments to allow U.S. military base in. Iran, on the record, speaking on the floor of the U.N., stated, look, after 9/11, do you remember General Wesley Clark having a list of countries that are to be targeted after 9/11? It was a list that clearly existed before 9/11. NATO Supreme Commander was given a list of countries to be targeted. Obviously, that list existed before. After 9/11, every one of those Middle Eastern countries endured a once in 1,000 year drought. That's not a coincidence. It's statistically impossible to be a coincidence. They cut their rain off. I wonder why these countries hate us so much. They cut their rain off, and we had the president of Iran on the floor of the UN stating emphatically that NATO was cutting off their precipitation. How is that not warfare? It's absolutely warfare, and they're doing the same thing to us here. They're cutting off our precipitation to agricultural regions in California. For anybody in America that thinks those in power care about us any more than they do the Iranians or the Palestinians or anybody else in the world, they don't care anymore about us. And again, even the events that spawn some of these conflict zones, if one studies history, there is much more to it in the often funding of the very groups that are then used as a premise to initiate military action. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So people need to do some studying up. And as Mark Twain said, and for those who just wave their flags in quote, blind power structure program patriotism, what did Mark Twain say so long ago so accurately? In the beginning of change, the patriot is brave and scarce, hated and scorned. But in the end, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. We need real patriots, which means we have to salvage the country on which all our lives and our children's lives depend. Short of that, nothing else matters. And anyone who thinks those in power give a damn about the consequences of what they're doing, think again.
That's not my favorite quote by Mark Twain, but it totally fits. Can I give you my favorite quote by Mark Twain that sums it up also? I like yours too.
Please.
He says it's easier to fool somebody than to convince them that they have been fooled.
That I'm familiar with that, and it could not be more correct. I mean, that is the epitome of simplicity and accuracy and how true it is.
And then I would like to leave the audiences, and I'll let you have the last word, but I would like to leave the audiences with my favorite quote from Albert Einstein that he's been credited with. He says there's only two things, Dane, in this world that are universal. He says there's two things only that are infinite. That means lasting forever. Mm-hmm. He says, number one is the universe. Number two is human stupidity. And he says, I have more faith in the latter, meaning he has more faith that human stupidity will outlast the universe infinitely. So please don't be stupid. Don't be dumb. When you look up and see white clouds in the sky and straight lines that aren't dispersing, that is not condensation trails. You know how many American Airlines pilots I know, Dane, who actually tell me those are condensation trails? And I'm like, why would there be condensation trails? There's nothing coming out of them engines, dummy.
Just like the doctors, Brian.
Weird.
I'll let you finish. Just like the doctors that tell you safe and effective, right? How many mainstream medical doctors you know say the same thing, and there's no difference in this arena. Same mental firewall of programming.
No, it's all just chemical warfare. It's what it is. Chemical poisoning of warfare. This is what I make fun of, Dane, too. The FDA, you can thank the FDA for this. The Food and Drug Administration is in the same building. Our food supply and those that oversee drugs are underneath the same building. Oh, and you wonder why there's all these drugs and chemicals in your food supply? Come on, man. It's time to divide the organizations. You should have a company, a group of people overseeing our agriculture and our food that's required to live, and then have a separate one for drug poisoning and chemicals, right? I mean, seriously, this is ridiculous. All right. Anyway, who was the every single, if you go to geoengineeringwatch.org, everybody, and you watch any videos put out by this great organization, by Dane leading the way, it starts out, you'll see there's this intro clip and it's in black and white. There's a little video, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that not Lyndon B. Johnson talking?
Correct. That's our weekly broadcast. It's Lyndon B. Johnson in 1962, former President Johnson.
Hold up, 1962, people. Anybody out there who's been born since 1962, this dude said it before you were born. I was born in 1976. And anybody who was alive and has recollections of this president being the active president while you were alive, that dude is on video at a commencement speech speaking on what, Dane Wigginton? He actually says, the country that controls what controls the world. What's he say? The country that controls what? The weather.
Correct.
The country that controls the weather controls the world.
Yes.
And we control the weather. Oh, yes. My God, since the 60s? This has been 60 years they've been doing this? Okay. Yes. I mean, if you can't listen to the president of the United States telling you that they can do this live on camera, I don't know who you're going to believe. Don't believe the conspiracy theorist, Dane Wigginton and Dr. Artis. Okay, I guess you can't believe the president of the United States either when he tells you they're doing it back in 1962. Yep. And then this makes total sense why Iran's head or Iraq's head would be at the UN on the floor going, they are suffocating us and stealing our rain. He talks about it in that commencement speech. We can create droughts. We can create rain. We can move hurricanes. We can move tornadoes. Yeah. They've been doing it for 60 years. So please go to geoengineeringwatch.org. You need to become aware and knowledgeable first. So please go look at the information Dane and his group have put together and donate there if you can, please. How can I help you, Dane? How can I help Geoengineering Watch?
Doing what you're doing right now. What we need is an army of the awakened, and awakened doesn't just mean aware. It means realizing you're in a fight for life and doing your part accordingly. So what you're doing right now, helping to give us a voice, Brian, that's the help we need.
Great. All right. Well, I'm going to say goodbye to the audiences. I love you. I'll see you next week. All right, Dane, you got the last word, buddy.
Again, my deepest gratitude to you, all your listeners, all your followers. Never underestimate the good you can do by simply sharing credible data from a credible source, because a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward in this fight. We must push this level to the full light of day. If we can do that, Brian, the fur will fly. Shockwave around the globe. It would change the composition of the impact that's about to happen. We are going to hit the wall. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We're in the Thelma and Louise moment. We're soaring through the air. We can pump the brakes all we want. We're going to the bottom of the canyon. But if we can expose this issue and people around the world understand what's happening and why and what their governments have done to them without their knowledge or consent, we can change the flavor of the concrete wall we're about to hit. And it may give us the opportunity to salvage some part of the planet's life support system so that someone might make it through what's coming, hopefully at a higher level of consciousness. That's worth fighting for.
Dane, you're awesome. I salute you. I'm humbled. Thank you for spending time with me today. God bless you all. All right, geoengineeringwatch.org. Go there. And then also go to, I'm going to go look it up. I hope you will too. I'm going to watch the documentary Chasing Ice, like you mentioned. I'm going to look up Operation Lucy and Operation Alamo because I don't know anything about it, but y'all better watch the dimming. God bless you all, and God bless all of our posterity. What a world we live in. All right, we'll see you next time on the Dr. Artis Show.